Well, I've really, really enjoyed tonight. I really have. I think it's been very tasteful, and I appreciate the salutatorian, valedictorian. The speeches were wonderful, and the special was delightful as well. I'm, as Brother Carter had mentioned, I am personally thrilled to be here as well for that nostalgic reason, having been a graduate myself. And from where I'm at now, at 37, aren't we 37? Something like that, 37. I can't remember. At 37, that seems like a long way, but you know, it seems like yesterday I was sitting right where you are now. It seems like it just wasn't that long ago at all. But a lot has happened in the time that I was sitting there to the time that I'm at in this stage in life. My wife is pregnant with her eighth child. I think we've moved six times. I've been to pastored two churches. That was pretty effective there. Do you hear that big whoa? I do that every morning I wake up, every time that reality hits me. But a lot of decisions have gone into the last several years. And so I would just probably like to spend a few moments tonight, and I'll not be lengthy, just talking to this graduating class of 2011. And giving you some advice. You're at one of the most pivotal moments of your life. It's a wonderful and it's exciting time new beginnings are, but they're also where you can almost count on the devil to show up and to try to distract you and to take you a different direction. New beginnings are a time to beware, because Satan approaches in new beginnings and tries to attract the sizzle and the lights and get your eyes off the end and distract you from, get your eyes off what the consequence of the end will be and distract you with the beginning. And so I want to try to give you some advice, some wisdom that I think will be profitable. There's only one time in the Word of God that the word success is mentioned, and I start with that because I know that none of you are saying, I can't wait to go out and fail. I don't think any of you want to fail, and no matter what you're thinking of doing, whether you've articulated that or decided what it is, whatever it is you do, you want to succeed, and you want to be a success. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's a familiar verse to us, and we also understand that the Bible didn't just limit it to the word success. The Bible called it good success, because there's a difference in just being successful and having good success. It's a biblical success. So I would dare say the most common question asked to graduating classes would be, what are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to go from here? What are you going to go do? And likelihood is you'll express some of those things. If I remember from a couple of years ago, you'll express some of the things that you'd like to do with your life. And the idea is that you're now entrusted with something that you didn't have a few days ago, your life. Now, a few days ago, mom and dad had a great deal of say over your life, and they'll have a great deal of say over the future days, but there's a transition in the fix right now to where you'll have a great deal of say over what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And you'll see yesterday your life was under control, and today you're gaining a little bit more of that control or in the days ahead. And so the question comes, what will you do with your life? And an amazing burden falls on your shoulders. What will you do? Where will you go from here? We have further exaggerated the burden by putting it off on, you've got to do something big. You can't do anything small. You know, we generally all end up doing something small, but we don't think we're going to do something small. We think we're going to go do something huge, bigger than anybody else has ever done before. I thought when I was sitting in your spot that, that man, the world was going to know I was here. In fact, I didn't even have small vision when I sent out my invitations for my graduation. I sent an invitation out to Bill Gates and Sam Walton. I just thought, well, maybe they'll think I'm a distant relative and they'll give me some extra money. I mean, I didn't think small about anything. And I don't want you to think small either. But there's a huge burden, because not only are you expected to do something, you're expected to do something huge, to think huge. And I think I can help you tonight a little bit with that burden that's sitting on your shoulders right now. And if you're not aware of it, you'll become more aware of it. Understand, anyone close to you who loves you wants you to be a success. Anybody, everybody in this room here that has a connection with you is desiring for you to be a success. They don't want you to fail either. They want you to succeed. So the question becomes, what are you going to do that will be marked as success at the end of your road? And I think that it will have to cause us to pause and think about it for a moment. I want you to do enough some things that will make you wealthy enough, maybe it's wealth, at the age of 65, a retiring age, at the age of 65, you'll be a success. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's the definition of success, that when you're 65 years of age, that you're going to be millionaires and have your house paid off and have money in the bank and nothing to worry about. But you won't be able to enjoy it because you all played sports at Landmark, so you won't be able to walk anyhow. But maybe that's what it is. I don't know what your definition or anybody else's definition of success is, but the reality check is this. Wealth is very subjective. I mean, we have many of the people in this room have had it and had lost it and had it again and lost it again. I pastor people that one summer we start out, they had a couple of million dollars in assets, and by the time the summer was over, they were as poor as Job's turkey, whatever that means. It's something the older generation says. I've never figured it out either. But they don't have anything. So that's very subjective. If you're thinking that when you're 65 years of age, I want to be wealthy, and that's what success is, that can go very quickly. Maybe it's making a difference. I want to make a difference. And what does that mean, make a difference? I'm not sure. That's also kind of relative, how big of a difference is a difference. I'm not sure that I know what the difference is, but when it comes on the world scope or the scope of our country even, making a difference, I don't know that there's anybody that I've ever even met personally, shook their or knew them on a personal level, that have secured so much as a chapter or a paragraph in history to say they made a difference. And maybe it's being famous. I know a lot of people, and I know I over the years several people, but personally, on a huge scale, I don't know of anybody personally that made it to the place that when you say their name, heads turn. You know him personally? I mean, just on a huge scale, I'm saying, I don't know of too many people like that. I'm simply saying that if you sit down and you think about it, sometimes we set such a huge burden on your shoulders to go do something that the reality check is none of us have done. None of us, most of us in here, have ever achieved that level of success. So, that having been said, I know you want to be a success. I know you want to enjoy that level of success. I know that you want to experience that for your sake and for your future. And the people who love you want the same, very same thing. But success has much to do with the fact of personal satisfaction, personal joy, personal contentment, to live in a state of joy and happiness and pleasure. That to me is success. And I know miserable, wealthy people. You ever read about somebody who's got it all and they're miserable? We see it all the time. And yet they've got so much, and we think, how could you be miserable? You've got everything. But clearly that wasn't what success really was. I also read about people who have nothing. I also know somebody who has very little and is really enjoying life. I also read about people in our country's history that have made a huge difference and died miserable. Now, with your minds hopefully provoked a little bit, let me tell you something that I believe very strongly in. Is as you set out into your future, I want you to understand that if you do not get down in your heart this principle that you will not enjoy success as you want to enjoy it. Success is not achieved by what you do, it's achieved by who you are. Who are you? You know, I'm sure, okay, I remember as a kid getting asked that often, many times by my parents. Who are you anyhow? And I mean, I was a mess of a kid to have to raise because I have a very quick mind. And I remember my mom saying, "Who are you?" And I said, "I am Legion." You know, I just to get the effect, you know. But the truth is that's a real soul-searching question. Who are you? Because who you are will affect what you do. And so if we say, "Boy, you got to go do something," we're really putting in a real burden on your shoulders that you just can't really achieve. But I would rather say, "Who are you?" And the doing will take care of itself. If you are who you are, you'll do what you should do. But doing what you should do doesn't make you who you are. Who are you now? And that'll answer the question of what you're going to do and define it for you. You are right now and will continue to be this, a child of God. If you're here and born again, you've been saved, you trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, you are right now and you will continue to be a child of God. And that's got to be a defining thing for you right now. I am a child of God. So before I do anything, I have to understand who I am. I'm a child of God. Children of God don't do that. Children of God won't do that. Children of God do this. I am a child of God. So it will affect what I don't do, and it'll affect what I do. You're a child of God. You cannot neglect that. If you've neglected the fact up to now that you are a child of God, that you are saved, if you have neglected that fact right there, you will one day look back on your years here and before with regret. Because you'll say, "Man, I wish I would have done it differently. I wish I would have lived it differently." I'm not very proud of the years of my junior year and earlier, but when I became a child of God and I put away those things, I love reflecting upon those memories. Because they're very thrilling and they're very satisfying. Stephen's my English major, so he helps me out here. They're very satisfying. Because I can look back and was governed through my senior year by the fact that first and foremost, I was a child of God. And children of God don't do this, and children of God do this. They don't think that, and they do think this, and this, and it goes on and on. So as you go into your future, get this down in your heart of hearts that you are a child of God. That's got to govern you. Before you do anything, are you a child of God? And if you are, that's got to govern what you do. The reason really is building to my next point as we scooch along is because the fact that you're a child of God, your relationship with Christ is your supply relationship for everything else that you do in life. I mean, that's your established supply. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That is, Christ Jesus is the supply source for all that you have need of for outsourcing all your other relationships. And listen, there are other relationships are coming. Now, you might think you've got a relationship, and you might. I've got all my, by the way, a little word of caution here. If you got a girlfriend and you're going to take a bunch of pictures, you might want to just have a few by yourself just in case. Just in case. I'm just saying, just in case. I don't have any pictures left of when I graduated Landmark because, well, there was none by myself, and therefore my wife got a hold of those, and it didn't last. You know what I'm saying? See, you're as a child of God, when you establish your relationship with Christ, you are supplied for the other relationships of your life. And if you're not established in your relationship with Christ, then it will affect how you outsource to all your other relationships. It's the source relationships. All other relationships are out of it. If I do not have established the most vital relationship of my life to be my Heavenly Father, I will not be sourced for all other human relationships of my life. I will not. If you have been governed by that, I can guarantee you this, that mom or dad or mom and dad are sitting here tonight saying, "What a great kid that kid was." And we have one parent that agreed with that right there. That's good. One parent. Praise the Lord. The rest of you are wretches, man. If you were governed by the fact that I am a child of God, then you were the child you should have been to your mom and dad. Because to please your Heavenly Father, he would have said, "Children, obey your parents." And your parents would have said, "Boy, what a great child." And the thing is, your greatness came from the fact that you were governed by the fact that I'm a child of God first and a child of theirs second. And there, you got parents sitting all over this room that are nodding their heads saying, "That's my boy, that's my girl." There's a few of them I'm seeing, they're twitching this way now, I don't know. Here's another thing for you to consider. Just you and me talking here. I mean, I'd like you just to think we're sitting in my office. You and me talking. You have key relationships in your life right now. You have key relationships in your life right now. Mom, dad, people like that. Key relationships that you have. But that's going to drastically increase in your future. It's going to hit a wild increase. Well, at least it did for me. I mean, radical increase. Our house is full. And it's just packed, like we're packed in like sardines because my relationships keep increasing. I've got a lot of relationships in my life. And I've got a wife that knows how to produce many more relationships. And so she's constantly on the nest, bless her heart. But anyhow, in Ephesians chapter number five goes through relationships. And the Bible talks about, that's where we get our context for the Spirit of God and being under the influence of the Spirit of God. And then the context then moves into all the other relationships of your lives. Right now, none of you have a wife. Does anybody here have a wife? No wives. Any husbands? No husbands yet. But you know what? In the very, very short distance, you're going to have a wife and you're going to have a husband. Now, I know that seems like, not for years. What are you talking about? But it's going to be like that. You're going to be thinking, hey, I'm about to get married. I'm about to have a responsibility. And you're going to have a relationship. You might have children, too. You might have a lot of children. You're a father. You're a mother. And that's going to happen. You've been a son. You've been a daughter up to now. You've been a sister. Maybe you've been a brother up till now. That's all you've had. You've had very few relationships, but you had them. And however, in the very short distance, it's going to change. And you will become a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, among other things. I am a husband, a wife, an employer. I am an employee. I am what other things? I'm not a mother. Did I say I'm a mother? I'm not a mother. I'm not that. But I'm a lot of other things. But I'm not that. But I've got all these other relationships of my life that are going on that God has put into my life. Now remember, I've established Christ as my source relationship. Then he puts all these other relationships and he says, start outsourcing to them. Now I know if we put all this burden of go do something big, that you'll get caught up in trying to go do something big, that you might neglect the fact that God has inserted into your life relationships that cannot be neglected. If you neglect those relationships, mark this down. If you don't forget this night, because you're going to make a turn one way or the other. If you neglect those relationships, you'll finish 30, 40 years out saying, I don't feel like I was a success. If you neglect your wife, if you neglect your husband, your children, if you neglect them, you're going to feel like a failure. So you've got to tell yourself this right now. I will be governed by this principle that who I am will govern me, not what I do. And I am a father. I am a brother. I am a son. I am, and God has given me these roles, and you will not feel satisfied until you act in those roles accordingly. You've got to understand that. As I said earlier, I say it now. You right now are feeling a sense of satisfaction by whether or not you were the child you were supposed to be to your mom and dad. You're thinking back, mom and dad, and you're thinking, you know what? Mom got a pretty good thing when she got me. Now, I'd like to get mom and dad's personal opinion on that, on the other side of that, but you know, maybe you're thinking, I've honored my mother and father. I've loved my mom and dad. If you're sitting here thinking, I love my mom and dad, they are great. You know, your mom and dad might not have done anything big. I can remember when I was in high school at Landmark, and my dad had lost his business. He was quite successful, and he lost his business, lost his house, lost cars, lost everything. And he went from very successful to nothing at all. I mean, we were counting out pennies to get gas. We went way down real fast. And I hadn't seen my dad for about a year because he was trying to wrap up a business in New Jersey, and my mother and I lived down here. And I can remember my father, who was just struggling just to make things happen. And I can remember as I came through that paper there and broke through, we were running onto the football field. I looked across the way and I saw my father. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I looked across the way. He was at the fence and he was standing. He drove all through the night so that he could see me on the field. And I remember thinking in my heart, That's a great man. That's a great man. You know, he didn't do anything that the world would say, wow, you were really something. But he was somebody. He was my father. That's who he was. He was my father. I asked our children the other day, I said, okay, we're going to take a 2-day vacation. Where do you want to go? And we're going to do whatever you want to do. We want to go to Disney World. We'll go to Disney, or maybe not Disney World. We don't like Disney World, or do we? But I didn't mean to say that. Not Disney World. It was the other place. I don't know the other place, but the other place. But we were just going to play around the outside of Disney World. We weren't going to really go in. I'm not doing good. Okay, I'm all right. So, I said, kids, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to go do? And my kids said, Dad, forget going anywhere. We want to spend 2 days being with you. Man, I cried like a baby.
You want to be with me? I want to be with you too. Come here, you stinking little rats, you.
It was so thrilling. But my bank account is flat empty. I don't have anything. But I'm telling you, my life is just filled to overflowing. And it's not because of what I did. It's because I'm governed by this, that I want to be what God wants me to be in the relationship roles that he's given me to be them. The doing will take care of itself. If I am who I'm supposed to be, I'll do what I'm supposed to do, and so will you. Right now, you've got a few relationships. You're a child of God. You're a child of a mother, a child of a father. You're a brother, you're a sister, and you got a responsibility there. It's going to increase. It's going to increase. And if you set out, you ignore those increases, if you ignore mom and dad from this point, if you ignore, you're going to finish your life saying, man, I wish I would have. Man, I wish I would have. Boy, I wish I would have. And it's going to grieve your heart, and it's going to rob you of any sense of satisfaction, real joy, and lasting peace. It's going to take it all away. There was an entry made into Charles Francis Adam, who was a grandson of John Adams, an entry into his diary, and his son made an entry into his son's diary, the same exact day. It was a fishing day. Father and son went fishing. Here's Charles Francis Adams' entry. A man named Francis Adam, here's what he writes. What he said, went fishing with son, today wasted. His son writes, went fishing with my father, today the most wonderful day of my life. And that's why, because he's my dad. He is what he's supposed to be. As I finish up, let me say this. Who you are now soon will be made clear by what you do. It's going to be made clear. We'll know where they were in the whole scope of things. Were you just held here against your will? Were you trying to make mom and dad happy? Or were you here because from your heart you were doing the will of God? Were you what you're supposed to be, or were you just doing what you're supposed to do? It'll all show up. But you know that's going to hold true all throughout life. You'll do what you are. It'll come out. You can't keep it locked in too long. The Bible says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That is, you'll soon do what you are. You'll soon manifest itself. So you see, you become what you should be. If you are what you should be, you'll do what you're supposed to do. I can remember at Landmark here in the parking lot sometime as a young man, somebody had made an accusation against me that they had seen me staggering around in a parking lot. That they said, boy, I can't believe Jay says puts on like he's some good Christian. He was drunk in the parking lot. And I'd never talked to the gentleman that had said that. But he had said, boy, Jay's drunk in the parking lot. I don't know what he saw. But after I got saved, I'm telling you, I haven't had a drop of alcohol since I've been saved. There was a time that I had a bowl of ice cream that was floating, and I didn't know that there was alcohol in there. And I did take that, and I liked it so much, I took my wife's, and it got me a little tipsy. But that doesn't count. That was purely an accident. Totally accident. I didn't mean that. I didn't know. But that's different. But I hadn't purposely, intentionally ever taken a sip of alcohol since I've been saved. But But that gentleman saw me, and he thought that I was drunk. I don't know what he saw, but he thought I was drunk in the parking lot. And he told somebody. Well, somebody came to me and said, so-and-so said that they saw you drunk in the parking lot. And they said, I know who you are. And so I knew what they were saying was wrong, and I told them they got it all wrong. And what were they saying? They're saying, I know who you are, so you don't do that stuff. You wouldn't have done that because of who you are. And that's what needs to be the thing with you. You are what you're supposed to be. You'll do what you're supposed to do. If your heart is out of sync with what you're doing right now, it'll show up. So if your heart's not right, before you go plowing into the future, before you think, man, I got to go do everything in the world, stop right now. Get your heart right. Because it's going to show up. It's going to show up in the things that you do. You'll soon be what you are. It'll soon manifest itself. It'll show up. Who are you? It's all the simple question tonight. Everything else will take care of itself. Who are you right now? Stop right where you're at. Turn around. Look back into your past now and say, who am I? What kind of child was I to my parents? Did I bring joy into my household? What kind of Christian was I? If there's some correction, correct it right now before you go plowing off into what you're supposed to do, because it will be a terrible mistake. Who are you? Are you centered on Christ? Are you having Christ as the central relationship? Are you fulfilling your responsibilities in the lives of the relationships that you have? Who are you? To our guests, in closing, I can't help but make an appeal here. Salvation is something that you are, not something that you do. You're saved and you do things because you are saved, but you don't do things to become saved. Those principles hold through in Scripture. Being saved, I didn't do anything of work. It was a work of faith that amounted to salvation. People will often try to offset that horrible, unsaved feeling. They'll try to offset it by doing stuff and then doing more stuff and more stuff and more stuff to try to offset this gut-wrenching, horrible feeling of being unsaved. But salvation's a work of faith, not of works. In fact, the Bible says that if you did enough things that you could gain the whole world, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The point there is that if you went after this idea of doing so much so that you were able to buy the whole world, have all of it in your possession, all of it in your control, you gained the entire world. What have you gained? I talked with teens some time ago here at Landmark, and I gave an illustration, and it's what I close with. Is if the end of my nose was the start of my life, and that wall, we tried to scale out eternity by the back of that wall, where does my 70 years fit in here? Somewhere just off the edge of my nose, just a fraction off the edge of my nose is the end of my 70 years on earth. The rest of it would represent eternity. If you could gain the whole world for that long, wow, you're king of the hill for that long, you've got everything. You've done so much that you've got the whole world for that long. What have you gained if you lose your own soul for eternity? Made a horrible, horrible decision. If you're here and you don't know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that's would mean the world to these kids. You're showing up because you love them. But it would mean so much to these guys and girls, because they love you too, to know that you've settled that matter of eternity. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We'll have a word of prayer together. Just ask you a few questions by way of invitation, but we're not leaving our pew. We're just going to ask you a few questions. Would you say, Brother Shepherd, I don't know 100% sure. I don't have absolute confidence that I'm saved. I don't know that I am saved, born again. I don't know that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I don't know what happens after my 70 years. I'm not sure, or more. Would you say, just pray for me about this? The Lord would work with me and give me some help on understanding this. Would you raise your hand up in the air so I can see your hand? Raise it high where I can see it up here from the I see hands, handful of hands. Okay, I see your hands. Anybody else want to join them before we go to the Lord in prayer? Now, how many of you might say, Brother Shepherd, something was in there for me. Something was in there for me. And I'm not going to define it any further than that. But you'd say that the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Something was in there for me. Would you raise your hand up in the air? I see a lot of hands there too. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the honor and the privilege of being here today. And we thank you for this celebration, these young people that have come so far and now are ready to embark upon life. I pray, Father, that you'd help them to consider and ponder some of these things. I pray, Father, that they would be governed by some of these things, that the Word of God would truly rule and reign in their heart, and their relationship with Christ would dominate their decisions from here forward, that they would be what they're supposed to be. I pray for those who raised their hand and the Spirit of God is dealing with about some other matter. Please help and guide them. But then for the ones who raised their hand unsure of their salvation, not confident, I pray, Father, for them as well. That you'd give them clarity, help them to not let this day rest without seeking out somebody that has the answers. Maybe a man up on this platform that has a Bible or some other spiritual leader that could show them and share with them the Word of God and show them how they can know for certain Jesus Christ is their own personal Savior. Thank you for the time to be here and the words that have been expressed by the young people themselves in songs. And as it continues on, Father, have your